Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
This morning we're gonna get into things this morning. You know, I've been all week speaking to the Lord, and we've been, you know, really going into some pretty heavy subjects over the last few weeks, talking about out of Hebrews 6, out of foundational doctrines, and some of those things are a little challenging because it really does. You know, you're faced with the word, you're faced with the truth. And then we went into blessings and curses and had a look at how the Holy Spirit still teaches what he did before. You know, anyway, God is good. So this week we're going to get into something the Lord really impressed on my heart to speak to you about, just really relationship with him. And we're going to go straight to it. We're going to discuss a character in the Bible that was, you know, a great man of God to begin. And, you know, he's coming to the Lord, and, you know, he walked with God. And we're talking about Saul, King Saul, and he was anointed to be king over Israel and, you know, chosen by God to fulfill a great purpose and destiny. And we see him get appointed, and he starts really well. You know, we see, you know, if you read it and you read, you know, between the lines, you can kind of tell that his heart in the beginning was a heart that really longed for God and wanted to please the Lord. But there was a problem that he had, and it was that as he was on this journey, there were the people and this desire to please the people and to look good in front of the people and appease them so that, you know, they would love him. He kind of disobeyed what God instructed. And that disobedience caused him to come short many, many times, to the point where we're going to read in just a moment the way his life ends, which is just so sad. You know, when you're anointed by God to fulfill a destiny and purpose, I want you to understand that that anointing is not there for your eternity. I'm going to say that again. The anointing is not there for your eternity. That's what salvation gives you, eternal life. But God will anoint you to be a king and a priest unto our God while you're on this earth. That anointing is given to you to fulfill a destiny and a purpose, to be used by God to change an entire city. Oh, it goes far beyond you to where it actually affects an entire city and possibly even a nation and nations. You have in you a lot more than what you think. Never get used to the anointing, the presence of God. Because when you start to become familiar with the anointing, it will end up costing you. Because what you do is you lose the value you place on it for all the other stuff, the benefits and all the other stuff that come along with it. As a minister, as a leader, you need to watch yourself always. I need to watch myself always. My main priority is to please the Lord. And then to love you as a pastor. That's my job. But I have to first obey him and what he says and love him with all of my heart. And the rest will flow out of that. Can you say amen? Let's go take a look at Saul's ending. And then we'll talk about that this morning. Are you guys okay? I just love being with you guys on Sunday mornings. 1 Samuel 31, verse number 1. 1 Samuel 31, verse number 1. Okay, now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, sons of Saul, or Saul's sons. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded. I want you to take note that it's the archers that hit him that led to his death in this battle. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not. I just have to stop there. It's actually so powerful. You know, his armor bearer you know, was probably saw all the stuff that Saul did, but at the end of the day, he was still so loyal to him and so faithful to him, and he just couldn't bear to actually kill Saul, even though Saul was basically begging him to do it because he was dying and he didn't want to be tortured. But his armor bearer wouldn't do it. And I want you to see this. It's so powerful. For he was greatly afraid. Then Saul took his sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. Wow. So Saul, his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men died together that day, or that same day. It's so sad for me that this powerful man of God, who had an amazing anointing on his life, actually ends so sadly. And you see David, who honors the anointing and honors what God is doing in someone's life, becomes extremely disheartened and upset by this event that took place. I mean, he gets really upset. But there's such a powerful lesson to be learned here. And we're going to jump now to Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. But I want you to remember that it was the archers that struck him, that injured him, that caused him to get to the place where he ended up dying. Pay attention to this. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. We all know this, but let's take a look at it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles there can also be translated as schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You need to know, church, that the battle is not against a person, even though it may come in the form of a person. It's the spirit behind the person that you're dealing with. It's the spirit behind the situation. It's the spirit behind the mass murder. It's the spirit behind the killing. It's the spirit behind the abuse. That's what you're dealing with. So the battle's not against the person. The battle's against the spirit. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now watch. Above all, I think it's important that we take note here. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Fiery darts, arrows. Arrows. The enemy will come against you in your walk with God, and he will test your faith. He will test your faith, whether it is real or whether it is not real. We all have a shield. That shield is faith. The shield is what protects you from the attacks of the enemy on your life. The shield of faith. So in other words, what protects you from those attacks when the enemy comes to test you is your faith. The Bible describes the attack as fiery arrows or fiery darts. And we can see that it's important for us to pick up this shield, to take up the shield. And the word, there's a very powerful word there. It says this, it says above all, taking the shield of faith, and it says, with which you will be able, with which you will be able, with the shield of faith. If you really have the shield of faith and it's properly prepared for battle, you will be able to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The word will be able is the Greek word dunamai. Dunamai, and it means basically to just do that, to be able. But what I want to show you is the root word of dunamai is the word dunamis, which is power. And actually it speaks of explosive power. So what will happen is you will have explosive power to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one if you are able to pick up a well-prepared shield. You will be able, if you have a shield of faith in your weaponry, if your shield is prepared and you are carrying this part of weaponry, you will be able to withstand every attack that the enemy brings against you. You will be well able. You will be empowered. You will have power to come against anything the enemy brings against you. Fiery darts. Fiery darts, the word there also means poisonous darts or venomous darts. What you need to understand is the enemy will do whatever he can to take you out of destiny. If he can't prevent you from going to heaven, he'll do whatever he can to stop you from becoming who God called you to be. Yes, the battle is real. It's over your soul, but it goes beyond you. It also goes for the people that live around you. Your children, your family, your husband, your wife. You're in the battle and it's very real. Can you say amen? Now, let's go back to 1 Samuel 31, verse number 3. Watch this now. Remember with Saul in the battle against the Philistines. Philistines are always a representative of the devil or demons. It says, the battle became fierce against Saul and the archers hit him and he was severely wounded by the archers. Now, what happened that day on Mount Gilboa? David says something extremely powerful. I want to take you there. Let's go to 2 Samuel 1, verse number 21. 2 Samuel 1, verse 21. Now, watch this because this is important. While David is crying out to God, he actually curses Mount Gilboa, but he makes a statement about Saul that we must pay attention to. O mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew nor rain upon you, nor fields of offering. And if you go to Mount Gilboa today, it is dry. For the fields of the mighty is cast away there. The shield of Saul, watch this now, not anointed with oil. The shield of Saul, not anointed with oil. In other words, Saul had a shield that was not anointed with oil, and because it wasn't anointed with oil, the arrows of the enemy were able to pierce that shield, probably break it into pieces, and it shattered, and the next few arrows struck him down. You have a shield of faith. That shield requires anointing. Now, if you look at Old Testament scripture, what they would do with their shield is they would anoint it with oil. They would take the oil and they would anoint the shield with oil. They would rub it. They would smear it. It's so interesting because the word anoint actually simply means to rub or to smear. They would take that oil, rub it on their shield so that it would be able to withstand the arrows. In some cases, even put the arrows out, but it didn't matter how many arrows came. That thing was filled with leather and oil and covered, and it was solid as a rock. No arrow could withstand it. But David says that his anointed shield was not the way it was supposed to be. In other words, it was not anointed anymore. It's like he lost the anointing on his life. Your faith must be anointed. Your faith must be anointed in order for you to be able to withstand everything the enemy will bring against you. It's interesting that if you look there, the word cast away. So if you look, it says, for the shield of the mighty is cast away. The word cast away there is the Hebrew word gahal, which means to be defiled. So in other words, he had already become defiled because he was not obedient to God's voice. Let me not go ahead of myself. Okay. Your shield must be anointed with oil. We have to have oil on our shields, or else they will become dry. And when you have dry faith, you get into trouble. When you have dry faith, you get into trouble. Some people always have dry faith. And the reason why they have dry faith is because they've never stepped out beyond the natural. You see, the oil is always represented of the Holy Spirit. Without oil, without the Holy Spirit in your life, you will never move beyond natural faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But we're going to talk about that in just a moment. You see, it comes by hearing the Word of God, but that word there is not just any normal word. It's a special word for word. Every believer has to get to a point where they make a decision. You can sit in church and come here and look the part. But God has so much more for you. He wants you to cross over. Cross over from the natural to the supernatural. You serve a supernatural God. Faith comes by hearing. Now, if you don't have a shield of faith, you will never be able to take ground in the kingdom of God. In other words, your walk will be a stagnant one because you'll never be able to put your shield up to take what the enemy brings against you and move forward to take more ground, to grow in the spirit, to become one with God, to be able to expand and do amazing things for the Lord. If you walk with God, if you walk with the Spirit of God, you can say something out of your mouth, something really simple, but suddenly it just seems to have this effect on somebody and you don't even know why. And it's not because you've said anything great. All that it is that when the words came out of your mouth, there was life that came out of your mouth. Words that bring life and change. It's like God knew exactly what to put in your mouth that that person's spirit needed to hear in that moment. Now, okay. There's so much. Let's just get into it. Isaiah 21 verse number 5 says this. Prepare the table. Set a watchman in the tower. Eat and drink. Arise, you princes. Anoint the shield. The shield of faith must be anointed. Now, if we need the anointing to be able to have our shield prepared for battle, to be able to have our faith become something that can actually be used, what does it entail? All right, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The scripture is Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. Now, I want you to take a look. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Put it up for me, please. All right. Now, watch the screen, everybody, for a minute. Even you that are looking at your cell phones, just look. So, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word over there, word, is not a normal word for word. There are two Greek words for the word word. One is logos and one is rhema. Okay. That word there is the word rhema. That means the spoken word. That means that word has gotten in you, it's become alive in you, and you begin to speak it. It's your breath in my lungs that brings transformation, that brings change, right? Now, the Bible also says, in the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus is the Word, right? The word used for word there is the word logos, which is the written word. So what happens is you get filled with the written word. You read the word. When you get saved, you believe, you start to read the word. But you need something in order for that written word to become alive in you so that when you speak it, it becomes rhema. You need something. You need the word to change from logos to rhema in your life. How does that happen? Let me show you what happened to the word. Okay, let's go real quick in our Bibles to Acts 10:38. Watch this now. Who's the word? Okay, you're all with me. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. What did Jesus get anointed with? So the Word got anointed with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came upon the Word, it became rhema. And that rhema had the power to go out and do good and bring healing and bring the oppressed out and destroy the works of the devil. You have to go from logos to rhema. You have to move from being just someone who knows about the word to having the word come in you. And the Holy Spirit is the one who anoints you. If you want your shield of faith to increase, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word. But that word must be inspired. That word must come from the life of the Holy Spirit who breathes and lives and has his being inside of you. It's not natural. It's not normal. It's totally abnormal. Now, how does that happen? When you get saved, you believe. That's great. Wonderful. Hallelujah. You're going to heaven. But you have so much more. That's the problem. Why so many people in church have, it's dead to them because they have no purpose. They think, well, it's great. I'm going to heaven. You know, I'll be good-ish. Kinda. Just want to have a little bit of fun. Amen. Okay. All right. But what really needs to happen is you have to move from that place of natural faith to anointed faith, where it becomes alive in you, where the Word becomes alive in you. How does that happen? The Holy Spirit. How do you connect with Him? Well, there's a whole lot of stuff. But it starts by just believing in Jesus. And then He will come. He promised that He would send His Holy Spirit in you, and not only in you, but also upon you. When He comes upon you, He empowers you. He transforms you. You become different. You change. You move from Christianity for me to Christianity for everybody in my life. That's when your words change from influencing you only to influencing others as well. It becomes alive. It becomes so alive. You can do it with worship. You can do it with worship. You can pray and you can say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you into my life. I'm so thankful that you're here. You must remember, the Bible says this. Paul makes a beautiful prayer. And I pray it for you guys every week. You probably don't even realize it. It says this. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, His grace, His goodness, His mercy, His kindness. Thank God for His grace. The blood of Jesus has set us free. The love of the Father is so beautiful, so powerful. It's all because of His love that we have anything. But He goes on to say the communion or the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So many Christians don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. Jesus said, I will go and I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And He will be your friend, your best friend. The word parakletos in the Greek means your advocate, your helper, your companion, your friend. He'll be with you. He'll talk to you. He'll teach you. He'll show you. He'll reveal everything. Is anybody out there? Now, I want to show you something. All of this worship and all this is so powerful because it allows you to be in faith. It takes faith to worship. It takes faith to have communion, to talk to God, to talk to the Holy Spirit. It requires faith, and it will begin to, you'll begin to rub, you'll begin to smear. The anointing will come on you and your faith will increase as the Word increases in your life. But I want to show you something. I just read to you a scripture. Let's go back there real quick. I just saw this now. Isaiah 21, verse number 5. Watch this. Oh, this is good. Are you ready for something good? Prepare the table. Set a watchman in the tower. Now, a watchman is someone that watches out. A watchman oftentimes is spoke of as an intercessor. Someone that will stand and begin to pray and begin to intercede. So you will be someone that will be a watchman. Now, one of the secrets to the anointing is to place yourself in the position of a watchman. So when you are in prayer, something very powerful happens. It says, eat, drink, arise, you princes, anoint your shield. While you're in prayer with God, while you're in prayer with the Holy Spirit, praying and seeking God concerning your life, concerning the city, concerning the nation, while you're doing this, the Holy Spirit will begin to place in your heart exactly what needs to be prayed for. You see, there's a guy in the Bible, his name was Paul. How many of you know who Paul was? How many of you know that most scholars will debate that Paul wrote approximately 2/3 of the New Testament? That means that Paul got a lot of rhema word. Can you all agree? In other words, everything Paul learned as a biblical scholar became revelation to him, and he was able to interpret it, where he gave us the doctrine of grace. He gave us so many powerful doctrines that have given us absolute life and freedom as believers. Can you say amen? How many of you say thank God for Paul's writings? Do you want to know Paul's secret? Paul knew how to take the natural and get it to a place where it was taken and his spirit became alive, and he began to speak words of life and edification and exhortation. His writings have the ability to change your life in a most profound way. And let me show you what he says. But first, you all want to know. But first, before I do that, let me show you something. Jude 20, let's quickly go there. Are you guys okay in Vero Beach this morning? I'm having a great time. Amen. Okay. What is the secret to building that faith? Take a look. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, the anointing faith. By doing what? By praying in the Holy Spirit. By praying in the Holy Spirit. Who of you here this morning would like to know, how do you pray in the Holy Spirit? Okay, I'm so glad you're all so well educated. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:14. 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, your spirit is praying, but your mind is unfruitful. How did Paul get what was natural to become spiritual? By praying in the spirit, or by praying in tongues. Well, how can you say that, Pastor Alex? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. It's very quiet in Vero Beach this morning. Guys, it's time to cross over. It's time to go from what's natural to going into what's supernatural. You serve a supernatural God. You serve the God of miracles, that great I am, the one who was and is to come. You have to cross over. Forget about the junk you've been taught. Listen, the Holy Spirit is for you now in every expression. In every expression. I'm not saying for one second that if you don't speak in tongues, you're going to hell. That's ridiculous. But I can't tell you that. I didn't write that. Paul wrote it. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. The guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, the guy that was able to take the logos that was in him, what he was taught as one of the top biblical scholars, to a place where it was revelation after revelation after revelation. Why? Because there was an anointing on him. Because he spent time with the Holy Spirit. He spent time in worship. He spent time in prayer. He prayed in other tongues. He spent time in the Spirit, and his life began to change. Listen, you sitting in your chair, I want to challenge you this morning. Cross over. Cross over. Cross over. Make a decision to surrender this morning. Your faith will have no oil if you don't. Give me oil for my lamp. David speaks about how his head was anointed with oil in the Psalms. The reason why they would anoint the sheep's head with oil was not for them to become set apart, but it was so that the flies and the maggots and the little flies wouldn't come and sit on their heads. The enemy will do everything in his power to stop destiny. Listen, it is written. It is written that Satan and his cohorts will be in a lake of fire. It is written that the end will come and that everything will come to nothing. It is written, it must come to pass. So guess what Satan wants to do? He wants to stop you from stepping into everything God has called you to do. Cross over. Cross over from normal. Cross over. You want to know what will save your marriage? The Holy Spirit. You want to know that will save your finances? The Holy Spirit. Cross over from natural faith to supernatural faith. From natural, from the normal to abnormal. Come on, somebody. Cross over. Okay, I'm almost done. If you come to E1, you will learn all about this. Okay, now watch this. Psalm 51, verse number 11. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. The secret to an anointed shield, anointed faith, is the Holy Spirit. David says, don't take your spirit from me, Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Remember when you got saved. You must remember it's the Holy Spirit that convicted you. He was already working. Get to know him a little better. Get to know him a little more. He'll take you out of the natural and show you incredible things. He will take the Word of God and make it come so alive. I am not 99% sure that God exists. I'm 100% sure. Why? Not because of what some have said, not because of what some have declared, not because he lives in me. He breathes in me. He's everywhere. I can't get away from him. I love it. Don't get away from me, please, God. I value my relationship with him more than anything. When I sit in counseling sessions and I don't know what to say, which happens all the time, I say, Holy Spirit, help me. What should I say? And then I just say stuff. It's not like I think about it. It just comes. And afterwards, I'm like, man, that was good. Where did that come from? I need to write that down somewhere. You don't need to write it down. Because greater is he that is in you. But grab a hold of him. Because he loves you. The Holy Spirit is your companion. Your best friend. He lives in you. Take a hold of him. He'll change everything. You can go from normal faith to anointed faith. And I've been sent to tell you this week, guys, that when it comes down to it, it always comes back to the same place. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, your might. Just love him and surrender to him. And the Holy Spirit will become your best friend, and you watch what he does in your life. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, this morning in this place, we just so thankful to you for your grace and your mercy and your love. Thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if there's anyone here this morning and you've never made Jesus your Lord, do it now. Just right there where you are, just say, Lord, I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. I repent of my sins and you will be saved. Right there, just like that. Make a decision in your heart. That's what matters. It's in the heart that has to be, the change has to come, and then just speak it out to him. But guys, so many of us never move beyond the normal or the natural into the realm of the supernatural. God is a spirit. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. We have to cross over. Intellect is great. Knowledge is wonderful. We need it. But without the Holy Spirit, it remains dead. The Holy Spirit is the one that will bring it to life. Get to know him. He is here in the room right now. Get to know him. Everybody stand, if you will, just for a moment. If I can ask you, you don't have to do this. This is just a request. And some people can't maybe, but if you can, lift your hands to heaven just for a moment. And just say to him, Lord, come on, let me hear you. Say, Lord, here I am. I surrender. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, fill me now. Let me hear you. Let me know you more. Lead me, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Now take a moment right where you are and speak to him right now. There where you are. Let me hear you. Speak to him, church. Come on, speak to him. Don't be shy. Tell him how much you love him, how much you need him. right there where you are. Oh, we need you, Jesus. We need you, Holy Spirit, come. Touch our lives, change our lives. Lead us, Lord, lead us, Lord, lead us, Lord. Forgive us, Father, for our sins. We just want to walk with you. We don't want to think about anything else. We just want to be with you. Be where you are. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. The anointing comes through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, right now I ask that you will just touch every person in this place. I take authority over every single foul spirit in the name of Jesus that has tried to destroy families, that has tried to destroy lives. I take authority over you now and I break your power in Jesus' name. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke, and the Holy Spirit is here this morning in this place. Father, fill them more and more and more. Let them become hungry and thirsty. Your word declares that if we seek after you with all of our hearts, that we will be filled. Fill us this morning in this place, Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ. And everybody said, amen. Now let me hear you give the Lord a big clap and a big shout. Come on.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.